Good afternoon. Today is Monday, February the 2nd. Have you ground your hog today? Joining us is that's humor. Thank you very much. Okay, a little jet lag going on here with EPD this afternoon.
I was reading your emails.
Okay.
Where the heck are you?
Yeah, well, words to that effect.
Yeah.
Joining us this afternoon is Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills and a buddy. What's this about?
Captain Brian Stevens, our newly promoted captain. It's actually been almost a quarter now, huh?
Almost 3 months, yes.
Yeah.
And, so he's not new?
No, he's... Yeah.
I guess you're new for the first year, right?
Yeah, it depends on who you talk to. So this afternoon we'll talk a little bit about some of the changes that are going on. I'm also seeing a bunch of purple signs all over the town.
We'll
find out what that's all about, too, when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Times 313. I got a quote here. I'm not sure I can use this one, guys.
Read it anyway.
It's from Ken Bates, one of California's 700 licensed fur trappers. Okay. Quote, the only people with a right to complain about what I do for a living are vegetarian nudists. you know what? That felt okay. I think I can read that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's new in the since last week in the land of cotton?
Well, it's been busy. We've got a lot of stuff going on. Our folks been out there taking care of a lot of business and as part of that,
bad guy business,
bad
or
guy
just
business?
Regular business.
Well, guys dancing naked around Dutch Brothers and.
See, I bet you he was a vegetarian too. It fit right into that quote. That was
he would have the right
spontaneous
to.
And unrehearsed on
yeah,
that one.
He was. In fact, Brian was there at that for a little while. Heard the cover call go out
at the end. Yep.
Do you get a bunch of those screwy things that go on a regular basis?
We do. It's not as common as some of the other calls we have, but it's more common, I think, what the normal person would think happens in Eureka.
Thanks for giving us credit that there's some normal people in Eureka.
There are.
Yeah.
Three at least.
Yeah. I was talking with somebody this afternoon. They had brought somebody into town as a potential employee, and they stayed at the Red Lion. Okay. And they and their family decided to walk down to Old Town. They took a cab back and said, no, doesn't matter what you pay, no. How do you guys look at our calling cards? You come in, I saw it last Wednesday, I came in from Brookings, and there were three tents. Regular tent like you would get from REI tent, underneath the Slough Bridge with garbage around. A green, a blue, and an orange at the time. Okay, not quite the calling card we want. On the south end of town, coming in, you see folks deciding to, do the dashes across the street or pushing their favorite four-wheeled vehicle. Yeah, that doesn't take gas across the street. What do you guys? I mean, I know you guys have the responsibility, the internal responsibility. How does that not twist you up?
It absolutely does, and because we have family and friends that live all throughout the county and come here and make the same complaints to us as the tourists are making to people like yourself when they meet you. So it's just it's an issue that we have to constantly work on. Our POP team has been working the Broadway corridor for several hours a week just trying to cut down on some of the what you see, the blight that you see when you come in and out of town, just trying to increase what a tourist or a traveler would see and hopefully make them want to stop or not stop them from stopping anyway.
Now, there was a press release last week, one of the hotels. Is it being shuttered? Is it being bladed? Is it what's the status? And I don't even know which. Is it the one across from the bowling alley?
Yeah, it's called the Blue Heron, commonly known amongst police circles as the Blue Heroin.
Okay, because Blue Heron back 15 years ago was one of the drug detox facility programs that were in the area.
Oh, is that right? I did not know that history.
Yeah, I bet you probably didn't, you interloper.
Brian's shaking his head yes. But
you don't bring him up to speed on a bunch of this stuff, do you?
Well, he's got to learn along the way.
Yeah, okay, I see. Yeah. Incremental growth.
Yes. Thank you, guys. But the building department and the code enforcement has done a fabulous job at documenting the amount of calls for service there, and it's outrageously high. Both police, fire, and paramedics of us haven't responded to the same location. And one of the things we know is that crime clusters by location. So crime clusters there. And you kind of look for why, then you start asking yourself, okay, well, if we get all these calls for service at this location, why? Well, so an ordinance was passed that you have to register a hotel, motel, as a with the city, and you can only have calls for service at a certain level. If you don't do that, you know, to bring those calls down by getting security, by putting in video cameras, by doing a variety of things, then the city can take the property. And
it's not a fine, it's acquisition.
Well, no, it's on this particular one, he hasn't even registered it yet.
So
the city has moved in to abate the property through the abatement law. And
so when that happens, what is the process? These folks are then kicked out of the facility. Does the facility then, is there a chance to remodel it, or is it burnt down, knocked over?
Well, that's yet to be seen. It'll depend on what the court's saying. I know there's a bunch of legal wrangling going on right now that probably don't really
So the work. Property's been forfeited?
Not yet. Not yet. We're going to board it up next week. And our intent is to go in there, help the tenants who are currently living there find other locations to live. And we're working with them and Department of Health and Human Services to get them locations to live. So we're not just kicking people out on the street. And then they'll be able to move from there and hopefully board up the property.
It's 3:19.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Brian Stevens and Andy Mills from Eureka PD. You can't really be called a rookie, though, can you?
I've been with Eureka, it'll be 16 years in a couple weeks, so I wouldn't consider myself a rookie.
But you're a rookie captain.
I'm a newcomer to the captain's position.
Oh, I see. Newcomer. I see. More letters.
More letters.
Okay.
More responsibility.
Do you like the way it feels so far?
I do. It's definitely been a change from what I'm used to. You know, 16 years of doing nothing but finding bad guys, put them in jail, teaching other guys how to put bad guys in jail, to now actually having to sit down and work with numbers, as we were just talking about, not my strong point, and look at the world with a different set of glasses on. It's definitely, you learn a lot about law enforcement that you never knew existed when you were just chasing bad guys. So,
a bigger focus?
Much
or
bigger.
Wider focus, I guess.
Yes.
Why him, Andy?
Brian is one of the most intelligent, thoughtful, articulate, handsome.
Do you sense that there's a hook being planted?
No, you know what? We went through actually a pretty extensive process. And we had three different panels. They first of all started out by writing a paper for me on five critical questions about the current state of policing in the United States, all the way from Ferguson to the militarization of the police. And based on that, moving forward to the next stage, which was to go before a panel, three different panels, 17 different people, listening and talking to them, asking them questions that were prepared, so it was the same questions for everybody, And at the end of the day, all the panels were completely unanimous that Brian and Steve Watson were the two that ought to be promoted. And so I was very grateful for the community members to step up and make my job a heck of a lot easier. That's why you're laughing over there.
No decision here, man.
That's right. Well, then we also looked at their track record, their relationships with the men and the women in the police department, and as well as the community, to make sure that that they could execute the vision that I have for the city of the police working much closer with the community and getting out there and pressing the flesh and making sure that we're policing from the community's perspective.
So what's his vision, Brian?
It is. It's providing the highest level of customer service that we can, being more available to the public, making sure that we're meeting their needs, and doing everything we can to increase the everyday life for the citizens of Eureka.
So you say meeting the needs, and I would imagine that there are certain subpopulations that you really don't want to meet their needs, and there are others that you'll never see because, you know, we're just regular guys and gals lowering our head, doing the job. You know, I've never had a cop knock on the door and say, "Hi." Just thought I'd say hi and then move on. You know, particularly with the workload that you guys have got over the last 15, 20 years or so, there's not that kind of freedom. So how do you find normal people?
Coffee shops are a good place to find them. You know, I've been out and been...
That would be for those with that addiction.
With that addiction and then that particular company. But, you know, having gone to a lot more meetings, we're doing a lot of with Neighborhood Watch. We've got two more Neighborhood Watch groups starting this week. So you get a chance to actually meet the people who you don't hear about in the paper and hear about on the news a lot. They're the ones that actually appreciate what we do every day. They provide us with insight on the actual atmosphere or how the attitudes of the communities are. And compared to data, we're a data-driven department now, and I think it's going to take us into the future and do a lot of good things for us. But you truly can get a feel for the community by when you go out and talk to them. You can do all the, I believe you can do all the dating, you can do all the different projects you want, but if the community doesn't feel safer and on how they're relying on how their everyday life is to you, that's when you get the true feedback on how well of a job you're doing.
And areas perhaps you need to pay a little bit more attention to.
Definitely. A lot of these community meetings are pro-police, pro-what we're trying to do, pro-community, but they don't hold back at all in telling you we need help here. And that's good. I mean, we need that because...
So what's been the biggest surprise? Granted, only 13, 14 weeks, so big might be relative. But what's been the biggest... that's interesting.
I really haven't got the chance to start my job as a captain yet. Just trying to get everything else cleaned up, for the transition that we went through. 3 months sounds like a lot of time, but there was a lot of stuff that had to be done, transitioning from a sergeant to a captain, cleaning up some things that were left by the outgoing captains, and then, filling those voids and making those meetings. And so we're really trying to get started into how are we going to implement some of the ideas we have, some of the concerns we're getting from the community, how are we going to address those. And I think we've got a plan. I think we're going to work with some groups and have some meetings, and I think things are really going to start to take off soon.
Yeah, how long have we been talking? He hasn't mentioned Tony or Lenny at all. I mean, just out of sight, out of mind, huh?
Who? And isn't that the thing for all of us?
Yeah, well, you think about it, for some folks, it's a passing parade, and they're here for a short time and then they're gone. And you got the others that, we're in the rut and we're here forever kind of thing. And then somewhere in between. And I would think that it's a bit of a challenge if the old image, maybe when I was a teenager, however many decades ago, was whatever it was, positive, negative, locked. How tough it is to unlock that image. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, so
right,
to speak.
Right, right.
So when you guys run into either, you guys walk in water, or, get away from me, how do you kind of try to break that down? Or how do you want them to, Andy?
Well, this, and you're so right, Brian. I mean, people can set in their minds, and it's very tough to change their minds once you perceive something. So I believe that we get together with people, working shoulder to shoulder with them. That's how people change their perception. And we're going to be doing that here in the near future.
Digging ditches?
Clearing out brush, maybe.
Oh, really? Gutters and all that kind of stuff?
Get your chainsaw.
I've always favored, personally, barbecues.
We've actually talked about that.
Yeah. Throw a blockade down, say, guys, okay, we got let's bring it on. And just have like a neighborhood block party, so to speak.
Yeah, we've thought about that because that's what I think a lot of the communities, a lot of these different areas of Eureka need is just to bring people together so they can realize they're a community still and get to know each other.
KINS, well, and the funny shorts. Don't forget those. It's 3:30.
Hawaiian shirts.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Captain Brian Stevens and Chief Andy Mills. So, guys, as you're looking at some of the different goofy stuff that's going on, are they unpredictable? Are they different? Are they things that you're kind of scratching your head about, or is it more of the same weirdness that you've been experiencing over the last little bit?
I would say over the last 16 years, this pretty much stayed the same, and we see our influxes of maybe what time of the month it is. You may get a bad set of drugs that come into town. You'll see a string of strange activity or strange behavior, strange type of calls. But for the most part, it's stay pretty consistent. I mean, the clientele really hasn't changed over the last 16 years.
Now, I remember it used to be associated payday.
A lot of it.
But that also implies employment. Is it still payday?
Well, I mean, almost everybody in Eureka gets some type of check somewhere around the first, so it's payday to them. And that still does play a lot into our crime rate and a lot of stuff, especially narcotic related.
So can you anticipate it?
I think so, yeah. I remember in the past when I was the drug task force, we would set up projects and operations around the first of the month, especially if we're doing some type of enforcement in town, just a general type of paying visits, yeah. Yes, keeping an eye on people closely in certain areas of town, sure. The first was always a prime time to do those type of operations.
Andy, from your perspective, is that something that is normal, or is that something that's more of a small town?
No, I think it's everywhere. You know, we used to joke, you know, with tongue-in-cheek, on a full moon, you know, I was going to go crazy, and sure enough, you'd have a full moon and, you know, you'd be at the ER nine times that night and going to jail a lot and so forth. But I think it's more of the cycle of paydays and people having access to money and drugs and or alcohol and wind up doing just some bizarre behaviors. But one of the things we do is we do take a look at our calls for service and try to maximize what we do around the times that we think we're going to be most busy. So, you know, we're trying to account for that. Once we get our new records management system in place, that'll make it a lot easier. We can do this analytical work and say, okay, between these hours and these hours on this day of the week, we're going to have an increase in of busyness, so we're going to get some people in place.
How close are you?
We signed the contracts. City Council has allowed us to allocate the money out of our budget. So
if you get permission where you can spend your money?
Well, yeah, because it's coming from some specialized funds.
Oh, okay.
And anything by charter, anything over $15,000, you have to do a certain way. So we're spending about $500,000, and that's coming out of drug asset seizure money, AB 109 money, anywhere I could cobble it together that wouldn't come out of general budget.
So you do get some of that drug asset forfeiture dollar?
No, I spend every penny I can get my hands on.
What percentage is it? I mean, if you get a fancy car, let's say it's $100,000 because it's a nice round figure.
What I believe percent? It's 65% of whatever you seize comes back to the agency that seizes it. So, like the Humboldt County Drug Task Force does all our asset forfeiture stuff. So, if they seize, you know, whatever they seize, 65% of that comes back.
Split among
the agencies that are involved in the DA's office.
Is that retail value or?
vehicles are usually blue book, medium blue book, somewhere, you know. You don't want to overprice things.
No, you know, in the mink stole? Yeah. So those can't be budgeted dollars. They just kind of end up at the end of the year, and you go, thank you very much, and put it into either a contingency fund or go out and take care of whatever the most pressing need is immediately?
Yeah, it obviously depends on what kind of seizures they have for a particular year, and then it takes a while for those cases to be adjudicated throughout the court system till the funds are finally released back to be able to be spent. And then there's special regulations and rules on the, what that money can actually be spent or used to purchase things.
I would imagine non-personnel.
You cannot. Yeah, it has to be non-personnel. You can't have luxury items. You can't. You can only do certain types of training in certain locations. I mean, it's pretty regulated. Because what they don't want is me taking a, you know, a leadership institute class in downtown Lahaina, Maui.
Yeah, Boca Raton.
Yeah.
So if the bust happens outside the jurisdiction of one of the participating agencies, they applaud because they get a percentage of it? I think it's some of the big drug busts that happen either out in the county or the grows that are in the county.
Yeah, so all those all the asset forfeiture comes through the Humboldt County Drug Task Force. It doesn't matter where that. So if the sheriff's department does a big bust, then the money has to be still. The cases are done by the task force. The money comes through them to be seized and forfeited. So yeah, it's shared among everybody. But everybody does their share of work too to deal with that.
So the brass stands up and applauds.
You bet.
Yeah.
Darn right I do.
Yeah. While the grunts, they just are having to go a couple extra miles to go get the job done that day.
Yeah, it's actually split seven ways. It depends on how many
people. It says avoid the eight.
See?
So who gets left out in the dark here?
Well, it's based on how many people you have out the task force. You're killing me, Brian.
I know. And I can see him trying to count to eight in his head.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't going there. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills and Brian Stevens.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills and Brian Stevens. Guys, if you had a clean slate and you didn't have any of the history, what would you see as the number one low-hanging fruit that you could pick right now to help change the culture of Eureka? Is there anything that's sitting out there that just really seems like it would be the first step?
This is a radio show, so we need to answer that question.
Yeah, the concept here is dead air is not positive. Yes.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things, at least from my perspective, and maybe Brian can jump in as well. One is this is a fabulous community, and I really think people need to see it that way. So people coming in see it as a fabulous community. We see it as a fabulous community and communicate that with a level of civility toward one another that really bespeaks well of the people who live here. And I think it is an extraordinarily friendly community. Once you get past the, you know, once you get here and people welcome you and so forth. So I think those things, along with the aesthetics of our community, and that's why we're trying to tackle the shopping cart issue, the bikes going the wrong way, people running across the street, and the chaos that comes with that, because that social disorder discourages people from wanting to come and invest here. And so I think those are things for me anyway that I would like to see a little bit greater control of.
So what do you think the rookie captain has?
We'll find out.
Okay.
This summer I took a trip to Fort Bragg, and I've been there before.
That was the highlight of summer?
No, it was
okay.
One of my trips.
Wow, big vacation there.
It was an overnight stop. But, you know, I got that sense of being able to feel like a tourist in Fort Bragg. And I think that's what I would like to see. I would like to see people come into Eureka and just truly get that feel of a Victorian village, that friendly feel, and feel like they belong, and something they would take back and then bring more people to. And right now, like you said...
Is that possible with 101? Highway 1 is and 20 are a whole lot different than 101. Is that possible?
You would think it'd be better for us. I mean, it would be so much more exposure if it's as many people driving through. So I think it's possible. You know, and again, it's just us having to work with the community to make sure that corridor stays as friendly as possible. Because if it's not friendly, they're not going to want to stop.
So now that you're knocking down the one hotel, or that one's been voided or taken off the radar map. What's next? Is there another or others that are out there?
Yeah, you know, the report just came out, and it was in the, one of the local publications, I can't remember which, about the ranking of the hotels who are in the top tier for calls for service. I hope this sends a shiver down the spine of those owners of those hotels. We are serious about this. You cannot create crime and profit off the backs of Eureka without having some recourse by the rest of the citizens to say you need to control your property. Same thing with landlords. You have a property that's a magnet for crime. We want you to know that there's a process in place, and we are going to use those processes in order to have you control your own property because you're making a ton of money off of it.
You guys being more aggressive rather than waiting for the neighborhood to make the phone call, you guys are going to be the instigators with some of these now, independent of the neighbors?
I think the city has taken the big step as far as that goes, like the hotels, making sure that the city building department is doing that. Our POP team is working diligently to take care of those complaints that come in as soon as they can. So it doesn't take 5 or 10 calls from neighbors. They try to get to them as quick as they can to relieve some of those issues. So, yeah, I think it's a priority for us would be to take the first step and even be the spear on that charge, try to get that done.
Wouldn't it be cool if speeding became the biggest issue in Eureka?
Or jaywalking even. Yeah, I would take just your typical jaywalker.
That goes back too far, man. the reviews are coming in, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My phone's blowing up.
What does the springtime look like for you guys? Do you sense anything's going to be coming around? Because some of the ordinances that you've wanted are now going to be in place. The community's going to react to it a little bit. Things are going to kind of start happening. Is that a transition time?
It seems like everything right now is a transition time. I mean, we're implementing so many new projects and so many new ideas and stuff that we're constantly transitioning. We're transitioning within the department, transitioning within the community. So, you know, with spring, with change, you know, I hope it just continues to be that way. We keep implementing new things that people enjoy or that people can actually utilize, and we'll move forward with those projects.
Yeah, I think we're on the verge of really making some significant changes. And now just the one shopping cart ordinance. We've collected over 200 shopping carts up to this point. When I say we, John Shelter has been a big part of that, as well as the police department locking these carts up, taking them away from people and telling them you can't not have these carts. You know, people don't think that's a big deal, but when you drive into town and see 20 people with carts, it just smacks of social disorder. The second thing is the city is really working hard on an organized, unified game plan to try to really impact the problem of homelessness in our city through rapid rehousing. We're working with Health and Human Services to get the MAC into a triage center where people can go and get help, and so that we can transition this whole thing and have a system in place that we think can really deal with these problems. So I think we're a little ways away from really seeing a big change, but we're almost there. And I ask for people to be patient as we really gut this out and make sure that we do this the right way.
I know neither of you guys have city manager after your name yet, but
never.
Would it make sense to have the city own some structures and use it as a dorm? It becomes a controllable unit at that point rather than having to deal with landlords and some of that rigmarole that's associated with it.
You know, I don't, I'll jump in on this.
Does that happen in other communities?
Well, it had, remember back in Chicago, they had Caprini Green and all those large, you know, city-owned apartment complexes that were a disaster.
But they weren't maintained.
Well, yeah. But so if our city owns it, who's going to maintain it?
Well, wouldn't the city?
With what part of the city is going to be the one, you know, doing the renting and doing the cleanup and all? I can't, you know, it's tough enough to keep our own building clean.
That sounds like the theme for at least a good discussion after we're done.
There you go.
Thanks for coming by, guys. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more talk. Well, then go out, make it a good day. Hug somebody. Love. See you tomorrow.